Today, it's time for Ask Rachel on the show. And this week, you called in with some truly amazing questions. We talk about how to change a family dynamic. So how to invite more vulnerability and intimacy and closeness into our relationships. And then we talk quite a bit about how to repair, the difference between making a mistake, doing a bad thing, and being a bad person. We talk about shame, how to process and navigate shame as adults. And then we talk a bit about following our hearts versus following our heads, setting boundaries at the workplace. It's just a really good, solid episode today. Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's dive right in. Hi, everyone. Hi. Hello. Welcome to a brand new episode of our beautiful podcast, From the Heart. I just lit some candles and some Palo Santo, sitting here drinking a big glass of purified water with electrolytes, which is sort of my go-to. And looking out at what is not really quite spring just yet. And I'm just feeling so grateful. I'm feeling so grateful. As I was preparing the space just now to sit down and record, which usually just includes opening the window or opening the door out to the balcony, I like to make the bed so I don't have a mess to look at as I'm recording, just a little bit of tidying up in the space. And then lighting those candles and burning a little bit of incense, just doing that little preparation, I had this big, wild, beautiful moment where I just had to pause and stop and go, this is what I get to do for a living. Like I've been doing this for a long time. It's very day to day. I take it for granted a lot of the time. But today, for some reason, I just really arrived at this big whoa moment of I get to record this podcast speaking to a community of like-minded people who are excited to listen every week, where I literally sit down and I speak from the heart on a podcast titled From the Heart, and I light my little candle and I have my delicious little drink and I sit down in this corner and I just take a breath and I speak. How is this real? I don't know. Today it really does feel like some sort of simulation, or like does not feel mundane or everyday. Feels extraordinary and so magical and so beautiful. And I also have this feeling like everything can change so quickly. I don't know how long this is going to last. Of course, you know, if I feel like I have to knock on wood as I say that, but Of course, I hope I'll be sitting here when I'm 50, still talking to you and still sharing from the heart and still in this community and in this circle of like-minded people. Like, I really hope that, who knows? I mean, when I'm 50, that's 15 years away. What? Technically 14 and a half. Who knows what the world will look like by then? But yeah, who knows? Yeah, I don't know. Something might happen at any moment. What if this podcast no longer works in a few years or in a while, or something shifts or changes? And I just had this moment of gratitude of, wow, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Thank you. That's not how I was planning to start this show, but yeah, thank you for listening, for being here. Chances I am feeling like this now could be, we have an episode of Ask Rachel today, and I always feel like it's a little bit more sacred when I get to hear your beautiful voices on the show. It just anchors me into a different vibration right away. And I know we have Ask Rachel today, and I get really excited to hear your voices and to talk to you. And yeah, we're gonna, I guess before we dive in, just from the heart, I'm just feeling very soft and open and grateful today. Yeah, it's freezing cold. Every day I check the weather forecast for like, what's the next 10 days? Because that's what I get in my little weather app. I get 10 days ahead. And it's just below zero. Every night, it's like -3, -2, -1, -3. And it's like, where is spring? I don't know. But we are busy filling some new raised beds with soil. We just had the delivery of this really incredible vermi compost we got last year when we were building out our vegetable garden. I decided to put another order in for that this year because that was so amazing. And we haven't really... Yeah, I can talk about that later, I guess. But our composting system on the farm is not big enough for what we grow yet. So I had this like springy feeling of creation and growth and gratitude and just putting those beds together and then coming inside and then sitting down to talk to you. I don't know, I just feel happy. Yeah. So I have no idea where today is going to take us. As usual, I'll start with any random question that I have here in my little folder, and we'll take it from there. Let's go.
Hey, Rachel. My name is Kira. I am from Denmark. And for anyone that doesn't know that where Rachel is living now, the country next to Sweden is Denmark. I have a question for you, and also, of course, like, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I simply want to ask you if you have done something wrong, or like did something in survival mode, like the praying of things will smooth out when you have learned your lesson. I don't know if you know what I mean, but yeah. And thank you for being you.
Oh, wow. Hi, Kira from Denmark. Hi. Your question cut out just a little bit. I think maybe was the connection in the beginning. But I think, so you're asking if I've ever done something wrong. Oh my God. If I've ever done something acting out of survival mode. I guess you're talking about making mistakes. Maybe feeling pushed into a corner, feeling triggered, acting from a place of reacting instead of acting from present moment. Is that what you mean? Doing something wrong. Oh man. I have made so many mistakes. I mean, I know, of course, we all have. We are all human. Making mistakes is part of it. Can you imagine a human out there that doesn't make mistakes? Like how would they grow? How on earth would we possibly grow and learn and evolve if we didn't majorly fuck up from time to time? If we don't take a giant step in the wrong direction, how would we possibly ever know what wrong feels like? You know, we can't navigate our way toward the right path without feeling for ourselves what the wrong path is. And this is really just part, I think, of our human evolution. We're supposed to take steps in the wrong direction. We're supposed to mess up. And it's really hard when we have grown up without receiving any tools around how to deal with shame. I think that's a really big thing. And it's something that actually that I'm navigating now as a parent. We've been doing talking a lot about shame in the family. Leia is getting older and dealing with more complicated scenarios and situations. And actually had a thing happen this week where she made a mistake and had to apologize to someone. And this was a huge thing. It was absolutely a huge thing. And left her feeling, she was trying to tell me, like, I don't know how to explain this feeling. She said something she didn't mean. She hurt someone's feelings and she regretted it. And it was this big, you know, of course, for her, huge thing. And in the big scheme of things, it wasn't like, it was just a regular day between kids. And I had to really sit down with her and explain, you know, this feeling like in the pit of your stomach when you feel something heavy there, this, oh, like I did something wrong. Like, I know that feeling so well. I've done so many things in my life where that feeling came up afterwards. And it's really hard to be with that feeling of shame. It's so, so hard. And we haven't really been taught, I think, as kids, how to navigate that feeling. And it's so hard to be with. It's so all-consuming that we just want to escape it. And what I was sharing with Leia, and of course sharing things with her, always brings me to a place of epiphany or a place of healing my own inner stuff, is that feeling is our inner compass sometimes. You know, I said, imagine if you had said that thing and then you didn't feel anything about it at all. You just felt happy or good, or you didn't even notice. Like, how would you know that something had to happen afterwards? How would you know that that wasn't the right thing? Because here she didn't have to have someone else tell her, hey, that's not okay. We can't say that. That's not kind. Like, she knew immediately inside that that was not a good thing to do because it felt wrong. And that feeling of feeling like, oh, you know, I did something that didn't feel right. This did not feel kind. Having that inner compass throughout our lives and listening to that and honoring that and letting that guide us is a really beautiful thing. When we are supported and we don't have to carry that shame alone. And it's so important to distinguish between actions and making mistakes and our identity. And I think that's where we have it wrong in our generation. And there was no moment when I was just navigating this thing with Leia, there was no moment where she said, well, I'm a bad person. I am bad. You know, it was never about that. Like, something is wrong with her. No, like, there was an action taken, there was a word spoken that was not okay. Doesn't mean that she's not okay fundamentally as a person. And I think because we never really had people, or most of us anyway, didn't have someone to hold our hand as we navigated the rights and the wrongs. No one was there to teach us how to repair. No one was there to hold our hand as we encountered shame for the first time growing up. What to do with that hard feeling and feeling alone in that feeling. You know, it makes it really, really, really challenging to learn how to repair and to distinguish our actions and mistakes from our value and our worth as a human being. So when Leia, you know, makes a mistake and she can recognize, oh, this is hard and I want to say I'm sorry, and that's a hard thing to do, but it's about the doing and the action and the words spoken. It's not about her worth. Whereas us as adults sometimes conflate that, oh, I made a mistake, I'm a terrible person. It's not what I did, it's who I am. And chances are when we were young, we made mistakes, we were made to feel like something was wrong with us. Not like a situation happened, hey, let's repair it. But, oh, something's wrong with you, right? And that feeling of internalized shame, like there's something fundamentally wrong with us, we're going to continue to encounter situations as we grow older that rub up against that. And then suddenly something happens and we feel like the worst possible person in the whole world. We feel like we don't deserve to be here. We feel like, you know, it's more than just, hey, I acted in a way that was out of integrity. I'm so sorry. Knowing we can heal that, we can repair anything. Almost everything is absolutely repairable if we know how to do it. And the beautiful thing about this thing that we navigated with Leah this week is she went from feeling so ashamed and big feelings and oh my God, to going to sit with that person and just saying, I'm sorry, to skipping. Like we left that room. She was just skipping and singing. And I was like, hey, how do you feel? She said, I feel amazing. That felt so good. That felt so good. That wasn't hard at all. That wasn't bad at all. And then we got to have a big talk about, hey, that feeling in the pit of our stomach that tells us something's not right. The moment we talk about that, the moment we come together with that person, the moment we don't keep it to ourselves anymore, we bring it out into the light and we bring in air and space. The moment we do that, we not only feel good again, but our relationship with that person has the opportunity to be even stronger. So the person that you had the fight with, the person that you had the hard thing with, the person you made the mistake around, there's an opportunity there for vulnerability and intimacy and closeness. So that is why the people in our lives that we have been through hard things with, that we have healed fights or issues, or that we have forgiven, or who have forgiven us for making mistakes, like those are the bonds that can become really unbreakable because we've been through that hard thing together. And we've come back and we've repaired, and now that relationship is stronger. And it was so beautiful to see Leah live through that whole cycle. And she was even saying later, she's like, I'm so excited that I can make mistakes now. I'm like, well, we don't have to make them on purpose, you know? We don't have to, you know, like go out of our way to do the thing. But really, she had that feeling of, oh, things can be good afterwards. Nothing is irreparable, you know? And showing her and modeling for her how to repair is what has taught me to really repair as a grown-up. And I'm sharing this story now because just for me, parenting really teaches me how simple some of this stuff can be. And it also shows me where I've been in my past, where I just haven't had the tools to properly do that. And yeah, of course, I don't know exactly, Kiara, the situation that you're talking about, but I genuinely believe that almost everything, probably everything, of course, I don't know every single scenario possible on this earth, but probably everything is repairable. And yes, we might fuck up majorly to the point of the other person not wanting to forgive us. But there is a scenario here where you do what you can to ask for forgiveness and where you do what you can to repair. And if you've done what you can and the person on the other end is still a no, you know, doesn't want to come back, I think, or I could imagine that would still leave a feeling of relief inside because you did what you could, right? And it could also be timing, that the other person just needs time to come back. But what doesn't feel good and what can kind of linger inside of us for a long time, what can linger inside of us for years, is when we don't repair, when we don't attempt to come back. When we just sort of leave it over there. Well, that person said a lot of stupid things and then I said stupid things and then, you know, it was his fault, her fault, and then I did that because, you know, we go into the drama of the drama. And then leaving it like that, well, fuck them, right? Can't believe they treated me that way. And then we leave it like that and we know we did something that felt out of integrity too. Or maybe it was just on our end and we just sort of let things hang and leave it in balance like that because it feels too scary to come back. It's too vulnerable. It's too hard. I think if we do that, that scenario is going to stay very alive inside of us. And chances are we're going to be thinking about that person a lot. And chances are we're going to be sitting with that shame a lot. And we might internalize that to a point of feeling really unworthy. And starting to feel like we're terrible people, not humans who did a terrible thing, if that's the case, but just terrible, being a terrible person. And sitting with that feeling is no fun. And you deserve more than that. And there's nothing about the other person's life that is improved or made better by you feeling like a horrible person. So whatever the thing is, I would take every attempt possible to repair, to say, I'm sorry, you know, to be the bigger person if you can, because being the bigger person is oftentimes what brings us peace, like real lasting peace. And if you get to a place where you feel like you did everything in your power to repair and that person is not receiving it, then at least you've done what you can. And hopefully there will be a feeling of being able to let go a little bit and move on. Yeah, I don't know if anything I shared fully applies to your situation, but you are not a bad person. And I know that. I know that. And I really, really hope you get the opportunity to repair both with them and inside of yourself. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? I float between never wanting to leave my farm and see anyone to really missing my friends and meeting new people. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I used to feel guilty when I wanted to stay home and be all by myself. The FOMO was so real. But after working on this with my therapist, I realized that I actually recharge through alone time. So it's important to me, I deserve it, and it means I can't be everywhere where everybody wants me to be at all times. And my real friends understand that and they can respect those boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/yogagirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/yogagirl. Let's take the next question.
Hi, Rachel. My name is Mallory. I am a longtime listener, first time caller. I have followed you since, gosh, the happiness tour. I saw you in Colorado. Anyway, I better hurry up. My question is, how do you know when to listen to your heart in terms of wanting to move somewhere or make a shift in your job? Sometimes I think I'm just thinking the grass is greener somewhere else, but sometimes I think maybe this is truly what my heart needs. So how do you know? Thank you.
Hi, Mallory. Hi. Wow, the happiness tour. That was a long time ago. And a beautiful time. So how do you know? Well, I think, okay, here's just my intuitive first answer. I think if there's something you're dreaming of, there's something you're longing for, and you're longing for it to the point of picking up the phone and calling a podcast that you listen to sometimes to ask the question, I think your heart probably really wants it. I mean, that just makes me smile so big. But really, truly, I think if you are at that place of asking the question, asking around, looking left, looking right, like, hey, is this the right thing? Is this the right thing? Chances are your heart really, really wants it. And I think we have a mind that is so very, very, very cautious at all times and so overly sensible and so used to always scanning every scenario for the worst case scenario, you know, the worst possible thing that can happen, and always telling us all the obstacles as to why this is not realistic and why we can't and why we shouldn't, when our heart just wants what our heart wants. And oftentimes it's not logical. You know, I think it's really hard sometimes to distinguish between the heart and the head. And oftentimes what the heart wants doesn't have to make logical sense. It's not always the thing that you can sort of put in a spreadsheet and show the rest of the world and go, hey, look at the pros and the cons here. Look at this graph. Look at all the proof that I need here that tells me that this is the way. Like, the heart is not going to be able to make that case, especially in the eyes of the rest of the world, because it might not make sense. You know, it might mean going to a job where you make less money. It might mean making an uncomfortable move that's just a logistical difficulty. It might mean taking a giant step into the unknown where there's tons of questions that you don't know how to answer. And making those big decisions, I think if we get really, really present and we give ourselves space to really listen, they don't necessarily have to be logical. And that's, I think, a hard thing for our minds to digest. Like, our mind kind of wants that nail in the coffin thing of, hey, here's this one big thing that's going to be improved, or here's why this makes sense. And we want to be able to explain it to other people and to ourselves. And oftentimes that's just not going to be the case. And I think taking the leap oftentimes is the thing that makes everything else unfold. But it's taking the actual leap that's the hardest thing to do. Once we're in motion, like once we've decided we're going to do this, we're going to, you know, go for this move or change the career or go for the relationship or make the change, whatever it is. Once we start acting on what our heart is telling us, then all of a sudden we're going to get all of these affirmations and all of these signs as to why it was the right thing. And then it gets really easy. So, you know, I can't tell you that it's the right thing, it's the wrong thing. Only you can tell yourself that. And chances are you already know. Not even chances are you already know. Like, I'm pretty certain you already know. And what's really cool about life, truly, like what's really awesome about life, is that there are very few decisions that are irreversible. Sometimes we go down a path and then we realize, hey, this wasn't for me. This didn't work out the way I thought it would. This didn't feel as exciting as I thought it would be. This actually wasn't the right path. There are very few things that are unfixable that would put us in a place where we are absolutely not okay. And I think, at least this is how my husband makes decisions. Like, he likes to go through all the worst case scenarios of, okay, if we do this and then that happens and then this happens and then we end up in this and this is the worst possible thing that could happen. It's like, okay, if that were to happen, like, would we still be okay? Would we navigate that? Would we find a way forward? Chances are, yeah, we would find a way to be okay. We would find our way to something else. Like, we would be all right, even in that worst case, right, that he imagines in his head. And when I make decisions or when I plan, I like to look at what's the best case scenario. Like, what's the most magical possible thing that could happen if I were to take this leap? Like, we could end up there and then there and then there and then there, and then that amazing thing could happen. Like, and if you are trusting in an inner voice that longs for something, that dreams of something, like if you're tuned in to that intuition, I think, anyway, that we have a higher chance of ending up in a best case scenario than we are in a worst case scenario. And most things, you know, if it doesn't work out, we can move back. If it doesn't work out, we can make another change. If it doesn't work out, we'll figure it out. But I think at the end of our lives, the things that we are going to regret are not acting on what our heart told us to do. Staying in that job a couple years too long, if we know and we really feel like it's a drag, we hate it, we don't like it, you know, not going for the thing. If I look back at my own life, there's very few things where few moments where I took a leap of some sort and it didn't take me somewhere, either toward a really valuable life lesson that I absolutely needed to be able to get to the next place in life, or somewhere pretty cool. Not saying that every leap of faith has been this magical, easy, perfect thing. No. But I can't remember. I can't find my place to a single regret there. And yeah, I would rather take the leap than not. But that's me. So maybe go to, you know, the practice that you have or the place that you go or the thing that you do that brings you to a place of real silence. I don't know if you have that, if you have a place you go in nature or a practice that you do or something where it just puts you in touch with your heart a little bit more. I would do more of that. You know, if you're in the in this place of making a major decision, just be in that space as much as you can. Maybe get into the daily habit of anchoring into that meditation or going to that place in nature or, you know, doing that one thing, journaling, whatever it is that brings you closer to you. Get into a disciplined habit of doing that every single day without having to have a clear outcome, just being in that conversation with yourself so that you can quiet out more of the other noises, the outside noises, and let your own inner voice become a little bit louder. And chances are you already know. Is your child struggling with a specific subject, or do they need help with homework? Is your child asking questions on their homework that you don't feel equipped to answer? Or is your child ahead and not getting challenged enough in class? There could be so many reasons why the standard education system just isn't meeting the needs of your individual little one. And if you feel like that's the situation that you are in, I recommend IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Leia absolutely loves it. She's constantly asking me if she can go on and do the science lessons. She really loves science, and I think she's just not getting as much information as she wants in her actual classroom. So I feel so good supplementing her learning with IXL. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. And studies done in almost every state in the country show that the kids who had IXL are consistently learning better. It will also work for any of your kids. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. You'll save time because one subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And you'll save money. If your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. And IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. From the Heart listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/yogagirl. Visit IXL.com/yogagirl to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Let's take another question.
Hi, Rachel. My name is Catherine, and my question for you is, what about those of us who don't have children but also want work-life balance? Historically, it's been used against me at work that I don't have children, so therefore I can stay late or come in on the weekends or always be the one to bend my schedule or bend around others when nobody feels like they need to bend around me because, well, it's not like I have kids. Some people don't have kids because they feel like that's the responsible decision. You know, they don't feel like they can parent responsibly. And I think that they shouldn't be diminished because of that. And for others, you know, for instance, me, you know, you need time to date. And if you're always working because you don't have kids, then you're not going to have kids because you don't have time to date and therefore make kids. So anyway, I hope that this can spark a conversation amongst women who are childless, but also want work-life balance. All right. I hope you have a great day. Take care.
Oh, Catherine, what the fuck? What in the world of fuck? What? Okay. I'm listening to you speak and I'm like, I can feel a little fire of anger just burning inside of me. Who are these people to tell you what to do with your time away from work? What to do with your life? Oof, this is, okay, I'm just going to speak really frankly now. I really feel like this is not okay. This just is not okay. I don't know what your work, you know, scenario is like, but there is some major, major need for boundary setting here. It doesn't fucking matter what you do with your off time, what you choose to do with your life. If you want to lie topless in the woods, doodling, or if you're volunteering with your time off, if you want to lie on the couch, like doing absolutely nothing, you don't have to be of service to anyone or anything, and you don't have to excuse your existence with anything. Your life is not less worthwhile or less important. Your time is not less important just because you don't have kids. Like having, and it really pisses me off that there are people in your life and people at your work who somehow not only think that way, that their brains work that way, but also somehow act on that in a really, no. Listen, there's not a single thing about not having kids that means that now all of a sudden it's your responsibility to pick up slack or work more or come in more. Your time is just as valuable as anybody else's time, regardless of if you have kids or babies or not. And those people made adult choices of what to do with their lives, and having babies and having kids is an adult choice that they have made. And it's not up to them to somehow have their home lives and their family lives dictate how you have to live your life. What you do on your off time is none of their fucking business. No. Oh God. I feel like I'm at a loss for words. I don't know how to answer this question because it pissed me off so much. I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. And I'm so sorry that you have these people at work who completely lack any sensical sense of boundaries. Yeah, I think all I can say is just to encourage you to really set some boundaries. And at some point, and yeah, this might be hard to hear, but at some point you might have, or chances are you have, given them some slack in this area. Usually that's what happens when people overstep a boundary and then they start to really infringe, and then all of a sudden they become energy-sucking monsters in our life. It's because usually at some point we allowed that to happen, right? At some point, or maybe at many points, there has been people saying, hey, I got to get home. My babies are waiting for me. But you don't, you know, so you'll, Catherine will stay. Catherine will do it. And you've been like, oh, okay, I guess I will. Or okay, I'll help out. Or okay, I'll do you a favor. And then one favor becomes another favor, becomes another favor, becomes a habit, becomes everybody thinks that Catherine will just stay late and do that thing because everybody else has kids to get home to. Like, fuck that. And you don't need the excuse of having kids to go home to get to have a life of your own. I mean, what fucking century are we living in? No, you need to do some serious boundary setting here. And I don't know who the right person is to do that with. Hopefully there is some sort of trusted person you have at work with their head screwed on right. But you need to lay down the law and just go, this, I'm not doing this anymore, right? This is work on working hours. Here's what I'm willing to do. This is what my job entails. Here's what I'm paid to be here for. And that is from this hour to that hour, right? It should be very clear in your contract. And beyond that, that's it. What are you willing to do? And if you are willing to go beyond that for any reason, it should be even with what everyone else in your team does. Not that you're the one to pick up the slack for everybody else. And yeah, fuck yeah, being a parent's really hard, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I am one, I know. Having kids is hard, yes, but there's a difference between doing someone a favor or stepping in to help a coworker out if they're struggling or they have a sick kid at home, or, you know, it's like a once in a blue moon kind of thing, and having this be a pattern and having this be a day-to-day and having this be an expectation laid on you. Like, this is crazy. No, you cannot have it. I will not have it. No. So yeah, oof. And it's really clear that, I mean, they've really crossed a big boundary for you now, and you're starting to feel really taken advantage of because you are. So I would, as soon as possible, take action on this and speak to someone and set a really strong boundary. And sometimes that means things might get uncomfortable. It's always like, okay, well, what if I'm less liked, or what if that person thinks less of me, or all of those things. And it's like, what other people think of me is none of my business. I try to come back to that often. It's really hard to apply in real life, especially in a work scenario. Like, I know. But truly, I mean, this, your integrity here, your life, you being respected, like what kind of people are they really? Is whether or not, you know, how they perceive you, is that really that important? Especially since they seem to be absolute dickheads who don't care about anybody else but themselves. Like, if you can, just set a really strong boundary and enforce it. Yeah, that's all the advice I have for you. I'm so sorry. And I think this is a really important question. You know, it's like, I have two of my absolute best friends in the world don't want kids, don't have kids, always knew they don't want kids. And just hearing from them how often they have to justify that, it's like, or explain themselves, or have people ask again and again, but are you sure, you know? It's like, let people live their lives. It's none of our business. It's truly none of our business what other women choose to do with their lives. And deciding to not have kids, amazing. I mean, fuck yes. Each of us making a decision that aligns with what we want out of life, amazing. Like, let us do our thing. Like, you do you, let me do me. Oh, this drives me a little crazy. Anyway, I don't know if this is helpful. I feel like I'm just sitting here pissed off now. But please, I would love it if you could follow up with me. Let me know how things go. I wish I could give some more advice around how specifically to set that boundary. I'm hoping you have an HR person or someone trustworthy that actually will understand, and that you're not just surrounded by crazies. So hopefully there's that person that you can speak to and get some help, so you're not alone in that. Yeah, good luck. And I really, really, really hope things improve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's take another one.
Hey, Rachel. My name is Bella, and I'm calling from Los Angeles. Your podcast is amazing. You are amazing. Thank you for always showing up as you and your energy. The question I have for you is, I've been struggling a lot lately, I think with the lack of emotional connection or vulnerability that I get from my family, my closest family members. My family has been through a lot of trauma, and I think a lot of us just haven't dealt with that and don't know how to. I'm on a really big healing journey, and so I'm, over the past several years, have started to dig deep into my traumas and dig deep into the person I want to be. And I guess my question to you is just, how do I strengthen those relationships? I feel like I'm always missing something when I leave spending time with them, or I leave them. I'm just looking for a little guidance in how to make more vulnerable and meaningful and emotional connections with people that are really important to me, specifically my family. Yeah, thanks. Really appreciate you. Hoping to hear back. Bye.
Hi, Bella. Hi. Oh, wow. So first of all, congratulations on starting down this huge, big, really brave journey of healing. That is no small feat. It is not a small thing to do. Recognizing that you come from a family with a lot of trauma, and it sounds like you might be the only one or one of few who's actively seeking out healing and resolve and closeness. And it's a really brave, courageous thing to do, to choose to be that person and to choose to walk down that path, because it's also really hard. And especially in our family constellation, it can feel very isolating and very lonely to be the only one on that path. So yeah, good job. Go you. I resonate a lot with what you are saying. And I think one of the first things that happens when we start down this healing path, especially trauma healing, and especially for doing primal work and going back into childhood and family relationship and family dynamic and all those things, is we start to recognize what we have missed, right? We start to realize where things were lacking. We start to really notice, it gets really evident where people are cold, where people are holding back, where relationships are closed off, you know, all the things that we long for, that closeness and that love and that togetherness and the joy and the playfulness and like all the things that we really wanted as kids and that we really want now, it becomes glaringly evident where those things have been missing. And there is an inner child in each of us that, of course, immediately goes, but hey, I want that. You know, I want that. I want that closeness. I want that fun. I want that family that I can just kind of melt into and be honest and tell the truth and feel held and have intimate conversations and all those things. Like, and it hurts that it's not there. And I think a really important thing to honor and to really recognize is that we have to ourselves sit with those feelings of loss before anything ever is going to change, or before diving into trying to get something to change, to just grieve that, you know, because the healing path that you're on, it's your own, it's nobody else's. And no matter how much we want people to change and we want things to be different, things are the way they are. And people very rarely change just like that. You know, people do change. I really believe they do. And I really believe that relationships can change. Absolutely. But it's not going to happen just snapping your fingers and all of a sudden recognizing what's not there. There's no magic wand to wave around, right? So I think when you rub up against those moments of, oh, you know, this really hurts, I really missed this, I missed out on this, I wish we had that, it's not there, to allow for those feelings to be there and to find in your own way space to process the grief around the fact that it's not, and that you didn't have it that way when you were little, and that the relationship is not that now. Rather than entering that relationship trying to change it from the outside, you know, trying to go, hey, you know, I want this, it's not there, why are you not more like that? it's a really hard place to make change from. So just staying in your own body as much as possible, staying really present with your feelings as they come up, staying extra present when you are in those family dynamics of how things suddenly trigger you, and how things, all of a sudden a big feeling comes in, all of a sudden you feel abandoned, all of a sudden you feel ashamed, all of a sudden, you know, stuff comes up. It's like Ram Dass says, it's one of my favorite sayings, you think you're enlightened, go spend some time with family. You know, it's like we can have all the tools in the world and be on the world's most enlightening journey, and then it's like we're home for Christmas and it's all down the toilet because nothing is going to trigger us or ever be more challenging than the family we grew up with. I mean, that's just what it is. And I have been in so many of those places of just so badly wanting someone to change, wanting something to be different, wanting something to be better, to be more honest, to be closer, to be, I mean, I really know that feeling. And when I go in from that place of like my inner child almost acting out, like I'm just sad and I'm upset. I'm like, why can't you be more like this? Why can't you be that kind of mom? Why can't you be that kind of dad? Why don't we have this? What happens generally is just I trigger someone. And it's like my inner child starts to talk to their inner child. And all of a sudden, we're just like yelling at each other. You know, we're not speaking from a grounded, mature place. We're speaking from our inner children who've been lacking and missing so much and who don't have a lot of tools around how to come together in a grounded way. So whenever I'm in a family constellation or a family gathering and I feel triggered by something, I try to catch that and be with that. And I know that after I've spent time in those relationships or with those people, I generally need some time on my own after that. I generally need to decompress. I need to process. I need space. I need to be with and maybe talk about, maybe journal on what has come up and what has happened so that I don't take those things and throw it in the face of the other person, which is what happens if I don't process it. If I don't have time to digest, right? It's like, I just want to, well, fuck you, you know? So yeah, I guess what I'm saying is acknowledge what part of this is your own, because a big part of it is. It's our own feelings. It's our own triggers. It's our own longings, our own grief, our own wishing that things would be different. Like, that's all yours. And it's easy to want to just put it in the lap of the other person. Like, hey, you're the older one, or hey, you're the parent, or hey, you're the XYZ. Why don't you fix this? Why don't you deal with it? Why don't you change? It's like, well, hey, that all of this now, like what's been has been, but right now it's yours. And that is both really painful and hard and also really amazing and a relief, because it means you can do something with it. You can't do anything with other people's stuff, but you can do everything with your own. So distinguish between what you can control, what is actually yours to deal with and to hold and to feel, and what is theirs, right? So that we don't conflate their business with our business. And your feelings really are your own. And that's a hard thing to arrive at too, especially if this is a, if you're dealing with parents as an adult, it's like, okay, well, this is mine now. It's up to me what I do with it. Chances are no one's going to pick me up and put me on their lap and hold me close and say, hey, everything's going to be okay. Like, chances are that's not going to happen. So how can I be that for myself, or turn to the people in my life that I have consciously manifested here to fill those roles for me? Chances are we have family in our life that isn't blood family, but that's chosen family that we feel safe with and that can meet our needs in different ways. So yeah, I hope this makes a little bit of sense. And then after that, so after you have really owned what is yours, you know, you're taking responsibility for your own emotions and processing your things in your own way, staying regulated all throughout, single most important thing, that you're doing the practices that help you keep your feet on the ground, that you're going to therapy, that you're doing the work, whatever it is, however that looks like for you, that you're, you know, keeping yourself steady, because that's no one else's responsibility but yours. From that place, I think, maybe, not always, but maybe when the time feels right, we can have those conversations with those people in our life and say, hey, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, or I've been doing a lot of work around this and this, and I've arrived at this place where I just really would love to be closer to you. You are so important to me in my life. And I would love it if we could spend more time together, just being with each other. Or I would love to talk about this and this, or just approaching it from that place of, here's the longing that I have, right? Here's this beautiful thing that I wish existed here, rather than, hey, you never open up to me. Like, why do you have to be so closed off all the time? How come we're not closer? You know, that the two, we're kind of saying the same thing, but there's two very different energies to bring that forward in. So finding, I guess, the softest, most loving way to open into that. And you don't know, like, chances are the other person is also longing for that in their own way, but they don't know how to communicate it. Chances are they don't care at all. They've never given that a second thought at all. They're really happy with the status quo. They want to keep things the way they are. Can everybody just be grateful? Everything's fine. You know, you don't know what you're gonna get and what you're gonna receive. But I think whenever we speak from that place of genuine longing instead of speaking from blame and guilt, chances are we're gonna get a different response. But it's also really, you know, I've found sometimes in family dynamics that if I start to act in a different way, sometimes the relationship changes. Not all the time, but sometimes. So if I'm looking for more intimacy and vulnerability and closeness, if I in that relationship on my own make an effort to be more vulnerable with them, to be more intimate with them, to reach out more, to spend more time present with them, to really show up the way I want them to show up for me. If I make the effort to do that, there is a chance that what I'm going to receive on the other end reflects that. You know, by being intimate and by being vulnerable and by sharing openly and speaking from the heart with love, chances are you're going to get some of that in return because you're opening the door and you're opening the possibility of another frequency to exist on that maybe hasn't been possible before. And that takes a lot of courage to do. It really does. I can share just a little like realization I had this week. So I've had, if you guys listen to the podcast, you know this well, I've had a very tumultuous roller coaster of a relationship with my mom over the past many, many years, with high highs and really low lows and lots of time spent apart and lots of boundary setting and coming together and then stepping away. And, you know, we really do this dance and it's been really challenging. And for the past almost a year, since Bear was born, it's been really good. It's really been, since Bear was born, it's been really good. Before Bear was born, it was really bad. We had a few months of bad. And then since Bear was born, it's been really good. And Dennis and I went out to date night this week. It was his birthday. We haven't had a date night in 10 months. I mean, since Bear, we haven't been out or away from the kids. And I asked my mom if she could come be with the babies, be with the kids. And she just said, of course. It was like 3 days away. Of course. Yes, absolutely. Not a word of like, oh, but, you know, she has a working day and I'm sure she had prior stuff. She just dropped everything. Absolutely. Of course. So excited. And came and took the kids, had the whole afternoon, evening with them and had so much fun. And we were at dinner and I was talking to Dennis and I was saying like, hey, I'm just so grateful for her. Like I really am, that she just drops everything and she just is so excited to come here and be with the kids so that we can have time alone. Like I really feel we are in such a good place now and I'm so grateful. She loves them so much and she's such an involved grandma, an active grandma and happy to be a grandma and calls all the time and she's so there for them. And I love it. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy we could have this day together. You know, I'm so glad about it. And then we had a great night and we came home and everything is great at home. Kids are super happy. My mom is really happy and recounting all the things they did and how much fun they had. And, you know, and she drove an hour to us and then drove an hour home at 9 p.m., you know, in a working week. Like that's not a small thing to drive 2 hours to take care of your grandkids. And then, you know, and she was heading out the door and I just had this big feeling of like, oh, my heart was swelling, but we are not in a vibe where we are very vulnerable with each other. We haven't been for a long time. We've had so much unspoken. We've had so many things that still need to be repaired, to be honest, that we haven't talked about yet. Like there's a lot there. So we're not super vulnerable with each other. and she was leaving. And then it was kind of chaotic. She was heading out the door, and I had that feeling of like, I just want to like look her in the eye and tell her, I so appreciate you. Thank you. But then I didn't. It felt so intimate, and we're not in that place all the time. And it's hard to be in that place, and dogs, and yeah, she left. And then I had that feeling like, oh, I should have just told her that. And then 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later, she came back and she forgot something. She just went in through the door. And I was like, hey, mom, like, I am so grateful for you. Thank you. This means so much to me that you came to help out today. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. And she just looked at me and she was like, of course. And we had a moment there. And I get like a little teary-eyed just sharing it, because it was a small moment, but it was still a moment and a really important one for us. And I was thinking about that later, like I could have just gone to bed, and then she knows I'm grateful, but you know, I had that opportunity to really say something and to be vulnerable and to be intimate, and I didn't take it. And then it's like the universe opened the door again for me to do that. And I did. And it makes our relationship better. And I think me being vulnerable with her makes it easier for her to be vulnerable with me, because I can walk around wishing for that. I wish we had more intimacy. I wish we were more honest. I wish we repaired more. And it's like, well, I can also be the one to start doing those things and to actively take those opportunities when they arrive. And just by doing that, I change something. By doing that, something changes and opens in the relationship. But it doesn't make it all perfect, and we're still going to have our issues. And yeah, of course, all those things are still going to be there. But giving the relationship an opportunity to take a different direction, right? To be more intimate. And it's funny how sometimes we're sitting with all of these longings of like, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. But then we're also not showing up with that in the relationship. And sometimes it just has to start with us. So yeah, maybe it's starting with you. And maybe it's less asking the other person to change and hoping for them to change. Maybe it's just us making the change and continuing to show up for those people in our life with vulnerability, with compassion, with love, to the extent that we can, right? Not talking about like being walked all over or letting people treat us however, which way. No, but like to the degree that it makes sense for us to be a little more loving, if that's what we want in return. So yeah. Thank you for asking that beautiful question. And I so hope you have a future there in your family constellation of more closeness. Chances are, yeah, you're manifesting that already. And yeah, chances are it might not happen, but we don't know. And that's also so cool about starting down this healing path. It's like, we don't know. So, on that note, thank you for tuning in with me today. And thank you for asking such beautiful, important, powerful, wise questions. I love, love hearing from you. I hope you have a beautiful rest of this day and a magical weekend. And I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.